The Farm Workforce Modernization Act was passed by the House of Representatives last week. 30 Republicans joined almost all Democrats in voting for the bill, which would streamline an existing visa program and give some migrant farm workers a new way to apply for legal residence. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you are a farmer yourself, are migrant workers, immigrant workers important to your operation? Do you think we need policy changes to give those workers the ability to be here legally? What should those be? And do you have questions about the role of farm workers here in Wisconsin? And are we talking about you? That's 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. In just a bit, we'll talk about the role of immigrant labor in the state's economy. First, we'll look at some of the politics of the bill. Nicole Narea is an immigration reporter for Vox. Nicole, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you covered two bills, one related to farming here and immigration. Can you walk us through the key aspects of this one, what changes it would make for these immigrant agricultural workers?
Sure. So the bill could legalize up to 1.2 million immigrants currently working in the agriculture industry who don't have legal status. That's about half of the farm labor workforce. It would give them the ability to apply for what's called certified agricultural worker status, which can be renewed periodically. And farmers with at least 4 years of experience in the industry can apply for a green card. It would also create other pathways for visas for year-round agricultural workers in industries like dairy, and it would allow up to 40,000 green cards to be granted annually to farm workers if their employer sponsors them for a visa or if they hold an H-2A guest worker visa for at least 10 years. There are also some provisions of the bill that would require employers to verify that their workers are eligible to work under the federal E-Verify program, and also provisions that would implement a one-year minimum wage freeze for farm workers, as well as a cap on wage increases thereafter.
And a point of clarification here, you're talking about visas, green cards, legal status. This particular law doesn't involve paths to citizenship in the U.S. for these agricultural workers. Do I have that right?
No, actually, it would allow them to eventually gain citizenship. So basically, many of them would immediately be eligible to apply for a green card. But after 5 years of holding a green card, they would then be able to apply for citizenship and take the citizenship test.
Can you talk about the political breakdown of this? Not a huge amount of Republican support, but not zero Republican support.
I mean, maybe it's just because I'm in the field of immigration, but 30 Republican votes in the House really does seem very significant on an issue that has really become politically divisive, especially over the last 4 years. So I'm surprised, really, that there's any Republicans supporting this bill because it is such a broad legalization effort. But the lawmakers who did support this bill tend to represent districts where agriculture is a major industry. They recognize that this is an industry where there's a massive labor shortage and there simply aren't enough Americans who are willing to do these jobs.
Now, this has passed the House. As you say, what are the prospects looking like for a vote in the Senate and a possible passage in the Senate?
So it does seem that at this point, there is some hope that this could pass in the Senate. Representative Zoe Lofgren, who was one of the leads on the bill in the House, said that she's hopeful the bill will move forward given interest that she's received from some Republican senators that she's been talking to. And certainly this bill passed the House in 2019 without being taken up in the then Republican-led Senate. But because Democrats now control the Senate, it does seem that there is more interest in moving this forward. And especially now that Trump isn't president, when he was really sowing division over this issue, it does seem that this bill could gain more traction. Of course, you can't really ignore what's happening on the border right now in terms of how Republicans are talking about the issue of immigration. While they may be broadly supportive of this bill, it just seems that the issue right now in terms of the situation of the border is sort of poisoning some of these discussions around immigration reform, including a Biden-backed comprehensive immigration reform bill that was introduced earlier this term.
Right. Before we let you go, Nicole, is there a thought that, you know, a farm law here and a DACA recipient related bill here might have better chances of succeeding than that sort of big picture comprehensive reform?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think even the Dream bill might be might have slim support in the Senate right now. There is a narrower bill that would offer protections to DACA recipients that Senator Durbin is trying to find Republican votes for right now, and he's hopeful on that. But absolutely, the Biden-backed comprehensive bill, which at its centerpiece would legalize the entire population of 11 million undocumented immigrants living in the U.S. right now, really does seem infeasible given the current situation at the border and the politics around immigration right now. Of course, if Democrats are ultimately able to eliminate the filibuster, so they don't need 10 Republican votes to move the comprehensive bill forward, then it might be more feasible. But as is the case with many of Democrats' legislative priorities, it really does hinge on those 10 Republican votes.
Nicole, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Nicole Narea is an immigration reporter for Vox. She talked to us about the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, which passed the U.S. House last week. Now we bring on Steve Deller, professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon.
Well, we just heard the up-to-date news on this bill in the U.S. Congress. Can you give us a little of the history, Steve, of migrant workers and immigrant workers in particular in Wisconsin's agricultural workforce?
Well, you have to realize that there's a real distinction here between migrant workers that are very seasonal type of workers and immigrant workers. Those are workers that have moved into Wisconsin looking for permanent work. And the bill really is treating the two very, very differently. But if you think about migrant workers, it's the numbers have really changed over time. Back in the mid-1950s, there were about 15,000 in the state of Wisconsin. By 1985, that number had dropped down to 3,600. Today, it's around 6,500 that are registered in the state of Wisconsin.
And what do we know about the balance between those workers, immigrant workers with a legal status, legal status in Wisconsin's agricultural workforce versus undocumented workers in our farms and food processing?
That we really do not have a very good handle on, primarily because the reporting that would be necessary to get a good handle on it, there's a real strong incentive not to report being undocumented. Some of the best estimates that we have of undocumented workers are by the Pew Research Center, and they're at the state level, and they're talking statewide averages. So we don't have a really good handle on that.
Why has Wisconsin's food industry at various points over the years relied significantly on immigrant workers?
Well, part of it is that a lot of the immigrant workers, the migrant workers, stay with the migrant workers, is that it's very seasonal. So you have some seasonality in Wisconsin agriculture, particularly vegetable canning, for example. You'll see a real need at harvest time. But also in the running of the processing plants. Indeed, of the migrant workers, over two-thirds of them are actually working in the processing plants and not necessarily working on the farms. Dairy, for example, is not very seasonal. It's much more of a year-round industry. So that short-term intense need for laborers to harvest the crops, to run the processing plants, doesn't really apply to dairy.
Can you talk about the dairy farmers in particular? Because I know some dairy farmers in Wisconsin have been very open, saying, hey, we rely on workers from Mexico, for example. We have trouble hiring people in our own communities to do these jobs, but they're fearful of violating the law. Can you talk about the situation they find themselves in?
They do. It's essentially a wage issue and the working conditions. This is working on a dairy farm is a very difficult job because you're outside in all sorts of weathers. You're dealing with the livestock and the profit margins on most dairy farms. The vast majority of dairy farms are so thin that farmers can't really afford to pay very much. So a lot of domestic workers are not interested in that type of work at those wages. But yet you have immigrant workers that are coming from Mexico or South America or Central America that are – these are relatively good-paying jobs. So you have a tremendous kind of need for these types of workers. Now, some farmers are actually looking at investing in capital, for example, robotic milking machines. 10 years ago, when they were first introduced, they were kind of science fiction-y and pretty expensive. But we're seeing over time more farmers looking at making that kind of an investment because they simply can't hire the workers.
We continue our talk with Stephen Deller, professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison, about the role of immigrant workers in the state's economy, especially the farm and food processing economy, as Congress weighs a bill that just passed the U.S. House that would give more paths to legal status for farm workers. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Is this a big issue in your community, in your line of work, on your farm? What questions do you have? Would you like to see more smooth legal options for people who come to Wisconsin from, say, Mexico or Central America to work on our farms and food processing plants? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. We heard from Kendra in Milwaukee, who says many of these workers want to go back and forth between their homes and making money here. Seeing as others aren't realistically going to do these jobs, we should make it legal and safe for them to do so. Steve, what do we know about that? Immigrants coming up to work maybe during a season and then heading back home, whether that's Mexico or Central America?
That is true. Many of the migrant workers, they've kind of moved around the country as the harvesting season changes. But you are seeing, one of the trends that we're seeing is that an increasing number of these migrant workers are actually seeing full-time employment opportunities and they're electing to stay here. That's a trend that's been going on for a number of years now, but it's a personal decision for many of these. Many of these have family. For Wisconsin, many are coming out of Texas, and many of them have, you know, they're single, generally single males, and they're coming up to work and they're sending money back home, and they actually have a draw to go back home to where their family's at. So it really comes down to kind of a personal decision. But we are seeing an increasing number deciding that, you know, hey, there is full-time employment opportunity here year round, and they're opting to stay because of those opportunities.
Steve, we talk a lot on the show about the importance of farm and food processing economies for local communities, for a rural county or a small town with an agricultural area around it. How important are potentially immigrants for, you know, keeping those populations up and keeping those local economies up?
Oh, this is, I think that this is very important. We're seeing a number of communities in Wisconsin, and if you look at Iowa in particular, you can actually see where the immigration of Latinos primarily into many of these rural communities has been a real injection of new lifeblood. And some communities have embraced this and have basically said, hey, this is a source of increasing dynamism to our community. It is reversing population declines, and they're very welcoming to these immigrants. There are other communities, unfortunately, that, you know, this has changed and they don't necessarily like the change, and there's more friction there. So the research is suggesting that the communities that are more receptive to these new immigrants that have moved in actually tend to be more sustainable, more resilient, and more dynamic communities. They embrace that change, and it's an injection of new blood and new life into the community.
Steve, one thing that COVID did was highlight the role, I think, of immigrants in meat processing plants. These were places that were hard hit by COVID, and often there were immigrant workers there and concerns from their families. Do we have data? Do we know how big a role they're playing in meat processing plants?
They're playing an increasingly important role, but it's not just Latinos that are taking these jobs. You're seeing an increase in the number of Eastern European migrants, for example, or Asian migrants that are coming in. So it's really kind of a dynamic situation that's occurring in a lot of these communities that have large processing plants. And the COVID, there's been a lot of research now on kind of what has COVID done to the food supply chain. And it's had really different impacts depending on where the final consumer of that product is. For example, in the dairy industry, in cheese, cheese manufacturers that were primarily marketing towards, say, grocery stores, they couldn't keep up with demand. But the cheese processors for the, that were targeting restaurants, for example, they were unable to move their products. So one of the things that we've learned from the COVID is that these food supply chains are extremely complex, and it's very difficult to make generalizations because they've become so complex and so specialized that, again, blanket generalizations, we can get ourselves in trouble with that.
And another caller who couldn't stay on the line today, John in Kewaunee County, says our producer passed on. He said it's important for us to grant these workers legal status. The dairy industry needs them. And if they're here illegally, they live under too much threat. So we have this reality that we're relying on workers. And yet, John says there's this threat that many of them are under. What do you think, Steve?
I think that there's a real difference in terms of how those new immigrants into the community, you know, what role are they going to play in the community? If they're undocumented, they will probably want to try to stay kind of in the shadows, if you will. But if they're documented workers, you see, starting new businesses, opening up new restaurants, opening up new ethnic grocery stores, ethnic-oriented businesses. If you're an undocumented worker, you're not going to add that dynamic to the community. If you're documented, then all sorts of opportunities present yourself, and that has a positive impact on the community. So I think the more that we can kind of bring these undocumented workers out of the shadows and make them more mainstream, I think that's going to have a positive spillover on local communities. You do run into the political discussion of, well, how many and what's the process? And those are, important details that need to be worked out.
Talking to Steve Deller, professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison, talking about the role of immigrant workers in agriculture and food processing here in Wisconsin. Steve, looking ahead now, what do you think are some of the most important questions that the state faces when it comes to the future of agriculture and who's working in it?
I think that there's what's happening today. Well, we got a couple of things here. One is that farming is kind of bifurcating into two parts. One is there's farmers that are deciding that they need to get bigger. And if they get bigger, particularly in the dairy sector, they're going to need more labor in order to operate that. We have another set of farmers that are deciding to kind of scale back a little bit, kind of reduce their cost. That set of farmers is relying more on off-farm income to keep the family farm or keep the family or the household afloat. So I think in certain parts of Wisconsin, we need to be thinking about creating off-farm employment opportunities to maintain these farmers. So I think as we move forward into the future, we're going to be seeing more and more of that. I also think we're going to be seeing more smaller scale food processing business opportunities present themselves. There's examples now of meatpacking companies. There's a number of small butcher shops that have opened up, and they can't keep up with demand. I think there's going to be more opportunities for that to diversify the supply chain of food. So I think there's some real opportunities here moving into the future.
And Steve, do you think that there are things that get oversimplified or left out of the conversation when immigration issues like this about farm workers get argued about in the nation's capital?
I think that it is this perception that immigrants are taking away jobs from domestic people. I think in the case of agriculture, that's not the case. These jobs are, without these migrant workers or these immigrant workers, these jobs will be unfilled because of the pay scale. And, so I think that they're kind of painting too broad of a picture or too broad of a brushstroke in terms of talking about, you know, what will happen if we start to allow more immigrants to come in and allow the undocumented workers to kind of come out of the shadows. Right now, we're generating more jobs than we have people to fill those jobs, whether you're talking agriculture, you're talking food processing, you're talking any industry. We simply need more people to fill those jobs. That's why there's this rush to automation. It's because companies are saying we can't hire the workers that we need, so we have to adopt other technologies. For example, robotic milking in large dairy farms.
Steve, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Enjoyed it.
That's Stephen Deller, professor of agricultural and applied economics at UW-Madison. He was with us to talk about immigrant workers in Wisconsin's agricultural industry. Earlier, we talked to Nicole Narea from Vox about the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, which passed the House last week. It's awaiting a vote in the U.S. Senate.